WDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and you've tuned in to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, a public affairs program that you can hear every Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock on this public affairs radio station. Here on KDVS, on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, I interview and share with you the voices of all sorts of creative people. Many of them poets, some of them web designers, animators. Today, filmmakers. You might know that there is a big event which begins this evening, the UC Davis Film Festival, starting tonight at the Davis Varsity Theater. It runs today and tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. The Varsity Theater, as you probably know, is on 2nd Street between D and E Streets. The show started at 8:30, and we've got three of the folks who are responsible for putting together this year's UC Davis Film Festival. And they're going to be talking about their work on behalf of all of us who care about independent, locally made film. Speaking of great filmmakers, tonight at 7:30 at the Crest Theater, John Waters will be speaking. John Waters is known for films such as Pink Flamingos, Hairspray, and many others. To some, he is shocking and abhorrent. To others, he is cutting edge, edgy, humorous, and avant-garde. Well, no matter who or what you think he is, at 5:30 today, I'll have two sets of tickets to see him tonight at 7:30 at the Crest Theater in Sacramento. I'll be going, and I'd be glad to make it possible for you to go as well. So stick around, because I've got free tickets to see John Waters. I've got three filmmakers here, and we'll be joined in the third portion of this program by Anita Nally, who is a local poet who I've seen recently in the city of Davis performing her work, and invited her to come on this radio show to share with you some of her poetry. As you have come to expect when you tune in to KDVS on a Wednesday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. Because we've got great music to support great poetry here on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon. Remember that at 5:30 today, I'll be giving away some tickets to see John Waters tonight at the Crest Theater. That's at 7:30 p.m. in the city of Sacramento. Well, the UC Davis Film Festival is upon us again. It starts tonight at the Davis Varsity Theater, runs through to tomorrow. Both showings begin at 8:30 p.m., and I believe that there'll be some sort of ceremony as well tomorrow at this event. I have three of the folks who are responsible for this particular film festival here in the studio, and I'm looking forward to introducing them to you all. First up is the student producer of the Davis, what are we calling this? The UC Davis Film Festival. Thank you. And her name is Pamela Orbaugh. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Is that good?
Close. That's good. I'll watch your levels to make sure you can be heard.
Sweet. I don't want to peek.
thanks so much. And I'll be back with you in a moment and find out more about what you do. Also here is Chimree Williams, and she's one of the student assistant producers of the UC Davis Film Festival. Hi, Chimree. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Andy Blaylock is here. Andy won the Best Director and Best Editor Awards last year. And Andy, you've got a film in the film festival?
Yeah, I've got three films this year.
Excellent. Yeah. And we're going to find out about those. But first, let's go to Pam Orbaugh. Now, you are the producer of the UC Davis Film Festival, Pam?
Yes, I'm the student producer. I'm the liaison between the faculty that curates it and the students who do the actual filmmaking work.
So what does that mean? What sort of work do you actually do?
It's my job to go out there and make sure that the student body knows that UC Davis has a film festival in the first place. Because I don't think many students know that at all when they come here initially, or even as they go throughout their undergraduate studies, because you know it's not the most artistic community. It's not known for that particularly. So that's my initial job, is to go out there and make sure people know it's there so they can make films. And then it's my job to encourage them to submit them. And then I work with the UC Davis Theater and Dance Publicity Department to publicize the event in, you know, local media, such as this program tonight.
Right.
And I work with the varsity on the actual, like, technical program. And that's most of the duties.
So you are a double major in English and film studies?
Correct.
And to what extent, if any, has your academic work helped to prepare you for the challenging jobs of producing the UC Davis Student Film Festival?
Well, as a student producer, I worked on the publicity, the press release, and I had to write that up. So as an English major, I have a pretty decent writing resume included in that major. And then with the film studies, I'm actually a production emphasis. So I've taken technocultural studies classes that have me work with Final Cut and other sort of editing software programs. That it's my job as the student producer to make the DVDs that play at the varsity, to compile DVDs for the faculty to view the films on. So sort of just handy technical skills my majors have provided me.
That's great. If there are particular professors, either in film studies or technicultural studies or English, who you would recommend listeners to check out if they're undergraduates at UC Davis, what names come to mind?
Okay. Lucy Korn was a fantastic professor in fiction. Made me realize that my favorite genre of fiction is the short story.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua Clover, he's fascinating. It's a love-hate relationship because he'll make your undergraduate experience incredibly difficult, but you have to go to class anyways,
right,
just because he's so interesting. Sarah P. Anderson has sort of been the mentor for me during this whole film festival experience.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just been really fantastic in helping me sort of mature as the student producer. And that's it off the top of my head.
those are good names. Now that you've mentioned Joshua Clover, I'll tell everyone that Joshua Clover is going to be reading on this day next week, a week from tonight, at Bistro 33 as part of Poetry Night at Bistro 33. That event starts at 8 o'clock. Last time Joshua read at Bistro 33, I think it broke the record for attendance. I don't know if you were at that event. That was about a year and a half ago, but there were well more than 100 people there, and I expect that to be the case on June 2nd, Wednesday, June 2nd, a week from tonight at 8 o'clock. And everyone listening, may be interested in that. Joshua Clover is a winner of the Walt Whitman Poetry Award for his first book of poetry. He has two pushcart prizes to his name and has authored books on a great number of topics, two books of poetry, and as well as books on The Matrix, and one that came out last year called 1989, Bob Dylan Didn't Have This to Sing About. And it's about a connection between the fall of communism and the rise of a new kind of pop music. So Joshua Clover, a week from tonight on June 2nd at Bistro 33 at 226 F Street. All right, great. Well, I want to make sure to leave time to talk to some of the folks who have helped you out. And I want to come back to you, Pam, when we talk about how the films were chosen. But first, let's go to Chimri Williams. She is a film studies major, and she is a contributor to this year's films. Chimri, welcome to the program.
Hello, nice to have
you. Nice to have you here. Now, tell me a little bit about some of your duties and what first attracted you to participating in the film festival.
Well, I participated in the film festival last year, and two of my films got in last year, and so I just kind of was like, oh, it would be nice to help organize. And Pam and I are part of the same club on campus, Filmmakers Ambitions, so we kind of tag-team this year on the film festival, and I'm really excited to see how everything comes out.
Excellent. Now, do you have any films that we'll get to see this time around?
Yes. I submitted five. Two got in, so I'm happy about that. There's one experimental, Beautiful Against All Words, and one film that I did with Aggie TV. It's pretty much a sports montage of all the sports on campus that we compiled, and that's UC Davis Athletics.
Excellent. Now, people listening must think that you're very ambitious, submitting five films. Give us a sense, beyond what you just said, what are the length of these films and the other films that you submitted? Are they mostly, are they narrative, or are they experimental?
I submitted one experimental. One was mostly editing. Like I said, this is a sports montage.
Right.
I submitted one VH1 spoof that our Filmmakers Ambitions worked on all quarter, and also a documentary.
Excellent. So. Good for you. And is this your major on campus is film studies, so that's also with a focus on production?
Yes. Film studies, I'm also the peer advisor on campus, so yeah, I do the production side of things.
Excellent. And I'll ask you the same question I asked Pam. Is there a professor who hasn't yet been mentioned who you would draw listeners to as someone they should seek out during their undergraduate years at UC Davis?
Yes. So Sarah P. Anderson, I also had her class, and she's great. So she's taught me a lot about directing. Jesse Drew, he's in the TCS department. And one of the films that I submitted a proposal for that documentary in his class, and he helped me and critiqued that, and I made it into an actual documentary.
Excellent. I talked to Jesse Drew today, and he's going to be showing up tonight at that John Waters performance. Do you all know the films of John Waters?
Miss Harrisburg?
I do.
Okay. John Waters will be speaking tonight at the Crest Theater in just over 2 hours in Sacramento. And I have four tickets, two pairs of tickets to give away in about 15 minutes. So if you're interested in winning those, I hope that you'll stick around. And Chimri, how would you characterize the difference between films that you placed in the festival last year versus this year? Do you feel that you've grown as an artist when you compare those films to these?
Yes, because the film that I submitted last year, I had more guidance with that. As opposed to these, I feel like I do these more on my own, kind of, except for the Filmmaker's Ambition and a couple others. But I think I've matured as becoming a more producer rather than just directing.
Right. And what sort of career goals do you have once you leave UC Davis? What year are you?
I'm graduating next month.
Yeah.
So my plans after I graduate, I'm going to head back to L.A. And hopefully go to grad school, film school in particular. So
excellent. And so you're returning triumphant to Los Angeles, Hollywood land, having placed a number of films, and now you can go and play with the big cats.
Yes.
Excellent.
I plan on doing that.
All right. Good. Good for you. You're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back after this important message from the YOLO Federal Credit Union.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the YOLO County Federal Credit Union. The YOLO County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout YOLO County. The YOLO County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Andy Jones. I'm the host of this radio show, and I'm very excited to tell you all that the UC Davis Film Festival begins tonight at the Davis Varsity Theater, the theater that you can find on 2nd Street here in the city of Davis between D and E Streets. There's a lot of construction going on next door as the new Mishkas is being built. People who love culture and coffee all over town are excited about that and are excited as well to come see some of the best local and student filmmakers as part of the UC Davis Film Festival. One filmmaker who was feted at last year's event is Andy Blaylock. Last year he won the Best Director and Best Editor prizes as part of the UC Davis Film Festival. And this year he's back. He's got another film in the festival, and he'll be there this evening and tomorrow as well. Congratulations, Andy, on your big prizes last year.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Tell me about the film or films that will represent your work in the festival this year.
Yeah, so I've got three films this year that are in the festival. One of them features my dog. He was coming up to stay with me overnight, and my friend and I decided to make some creative use of our free time and decided to depict him taking a joyride through Davis. So he, it's basically what happens after I leave the house, and he sees the sights in Davis and try to capture his whimsical personality by keeping some parts realistic for a dog and some parts more in the whimsical fashion. And now I have another one that's a claymation. It's my first stop motion, and that one features a little clay blob who gets left behind by an artist and then goes on an adventure to try to find his place in life. And then I've got another one called The Future of Twitter, which is basically a social commentary on people's obsession with technology and social networking and how people focus so much on living through other people's lives that they don't actually live their own. So I show how things like relationships and friendships and playing outside and education in a possible future, those things are obsolete. And through that one, I experiment with editing, and it's one continuous shot that comes in and out of different technical devices.
Yeah, that sounds great, and right along the lines of some of the topics that we talk about on this radio show, when we take on Twitter and Facebook and iPhones and our obsession with being connected with everyone we know all the time,
right?
Almost like Borg. Do you all know about the Borg?
Totally.
I
love my
track. Okay. Excellent. So one out of three on the Borg. I taught a freshman seminar maybe a year and a half ago called Becoming Borg, which is similar to the topic of your film, Andy. And I realized as I started the class that the Borg were released at the same time that all of my students were released. So I had to go and get the videotape. I'll just say this to you, Pam, because you know what I'm talking about. And then show them who the Borg were, and then show them how, in fact, they were becoming more Borg-like because of their insistence of always being connected to iPods and cell phones and devices. Exactly. They gave me a little resistance, but I overcame it, of course. Good. And Andy, are you graduating this year?
Yeah, I finished classes this last December, and I'm technically graduating next month.
Excellent. Good for you.
Thank you.
And what are your plans once you graduate?
I've been doing a lot of freelance video for schools that need a grant, or for DJs in San Francisco or doing weddings.
Right.
Yeah. So just anything that I can be creative at.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you're stringing together enough salary doing that to pay the rent, or how's that working?
Yeah. I actually just landed a full-time job doing it for a fundraising program here in Davis that's going national, and I'm in charge of doing all the video work for that.
So, excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. I'd love to chat with you more offline about that. But it sounds like a creative and important way of using your filmmaking skills.
Thank you.
All right. Great. Well, you've heard it, folks. Pam Orban, Chimri Williams, and Andy Blaylock are here. They're representing the UC Davis Film Festival, which begins tonight at the Davis Varsity Theater. Now, let me ask you, Pam, as the producer and student liaison for this particular film festival, if people come out and see it, is the same thing going to be showing tomorrow night that's showing tonight?
Yes, it's the same program on both nights.
And how many films total and for how long?
It's 19 films, including a special presentation of a short film that was accepted into Sundance Film Festival made by graduate students here.
Wow.
And it should not run much longer than an hour and a half. It's scheduled to end between 10 and 10:30.
Okay. And it starts at 8:30, both tonight and tomorrow night?
Correct.
And is there some sort of ceremony after the film, after the films conclude tomorrow?
Yes, on Thursday night there is an award presentation in select categories, and including audience choice.
And so the people who will be receiving those awards, they don't know it yet, right?
No, I don't know it.
You don't know it either.
I don't even know. It's only the faculty.
So that's pretty exciting. Tell me a little bit about the jury for this film festival, the UC Davis Film Festival.
It includes professors in theater and dance, art studio, and technocultural studies, and usually film studies, but Liz Constable is unavailable this year. And it includes Sarah P. Anderson, Jesse Drew, John Yarrick Cavelli, Maggie Morgan, Julie Wyman, Darren Martin, Pablo Ortiz, and potentially others that I'm forgetting, and if I am, I'm very sorry.
That's great. So a number of really
Larry
impressive...
Larry Bogat.
Okay. A lot of impressive characters. Are they all faculty at UC Davis?
They are all faculty. UC Davis.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. And as you said at the start, it's encouraging to have this sort of nexus of creativity in a university that is often associated more for its impressive school of biology and its
agriculture
and graduate ecology program and so forth, rather than for all the great work that's going on in the humanities.
It's nice to let the humanities have a spotlight.
Absolutely.
On the big screen.
Now, are there supporters or sponsors of the UC Davis Film Festival who we should be mentioning and thanking?
It's sponsored by the academic programs in theater and dance, film studies, art studio, and technicultural studies, the representing faculty members.
Mm-hmm.
And then the varsity is very kind to let us use a screen there.
Absolutely. And it's a good reminder to all of us how important it is to have and support independent theater in a city like Davis. I'll be going to the Crest Theater tonight, which, along with the Tower Theater, are other examples of places where you can support independent films all year round, not just when you're lucky enough to have the UC Davis Film Festival coming to the varsity. Well, we will be right back in a moment. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour with an important message from the Linux Users Group of Davis. Please keep it right here at KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
I'd like to remind you that this radio program, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, is just one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this station. Shows with titles such as It's About You, This Week in Science, and Radio Parallax are bound to intrigue you, inform you, entertain you, give you perspectives that you will not hear elsewhere. So keep it right here on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. If you want to find out more about these and our many other public affairs programs, point your browser at kdvs.org. I'd like to remind you that, as we mentioned earlier, Joshua Clover will be reading a week from tonight. It's always a big deal when Joshua gives a reading in the city of Davis. He spent much of this last quarter in Paris, if I remember correctly, and now he's going to be back to share with us some of his new work. So that's June 2nd at 8 p.m. at Bistro 33. Although there is no admission price for that event, it will, quotes, sell out in that the room available will fill up. It will brim with smart, interesting, and clever people. So I bet that you, dear listener, would qualify on all three accounts and therefore may want to check out Joshua Clover at Bistro 33 on June 2nd. I've got Andy Blaylock, Timri Williams, and Pam Orbaugh here in the studios of 14 Lower Freeborn. And we're talking about the UC Davis Film Festival. So, Pam, give us a sense of why people who might not know much about student film would want to check out the film festival this year.
Well, there's kind of a negative connotation about student film, that it's incredibly experimental and nonsensical, and why there's some really great experimental pieces this year. There's also some very great narrative pieces, including a dramatic piece entitled Apartment 9, which is this sort of dramatic piece where you may or may not know if a man was murdered. So, I mean, who doesn't love a little mystery? And it was fantastically executed by a graduate student here at UC Davis, Colin Davey.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really great film that everyone should look forward to seeing. And then there's a hilarious Office parody entitled The Bookstore, which was co-produced by Health Education Promotion and Filmmakers Ambitions, about effective sexual communication. So if you have The Office and sexual communication combined, you're in for a good time.
Sure. Was that filmed in an actual bookstore locally?
That was filmed in a certain bookstore we all know and love, the UC Davis bookstore.
And I guess that's part of the fun at a film festival like this, and that is if you're a local, you're going to see lots of places that you're familiar with appear in these films.
You may see a lot of faces as well as places that you know, so excellent. That's always a fun game to play.
Right. So the festival, same movies will show both nights. It starts tonight, May 26th, at the Varsity Theater, which is on 2nd Street between D and E. And what a great way to support local culture. Is there something that we need to plug or mention before I let you all go? I want to hear really quickly about what prizes will be given out. Not to whom, but just what categories of prizes.
Categories include the audience choice, which is important because that's you saying which films you like best, viewers.
And is that with the loudest applause? How does that work?
We actually include a sheet in your program that you get when you come in, and you just check off your vote, and we collect it both nights, and then on the final night, Chai and I scramble to calculate everything before the presentation. There's also, of course, Best Director, Cinematography, Editing, your production basics, but there's also Best Experimental, Best Ensemble Acting, and probably a few others that I'm not bringing to mind right now.
Excellent. And how many films total, about?
We had 19 grand total.
Great. And what's the range in terms of number of minutes of those 19 films?
I think the shortest one is about a minute, which is most likely UC Davis Athletics, which is just a fantastic montage that really highlights, you know, the athletic prowess of the UC Davis student body. And then we have a 10-minute maximum, and we actually have a few films that reach the maximum this year.
Excellent. Well, I'll be there tomorrow evening. I'm looking forward to seeing this event. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about the UC Davis Film Festival. It starts tonight at the Varsity Theater and runs tonight and tomorrow night, both evenings. It starts at 8:30 p.m. Is there a website where we can find out more about the film festival?
The Theater and Dance website has any information that you could want. And also the Theater and Dance has a Facebook page, so that's probably more accessible to the student body, and you can go and find out information not only about this film festival, but all the programs that they have all year long.
And will there be a film festival next year, and how do people submit films?
There will most likely be a film festival next year, because this is the 10th one, so we've already had it for 10 years. Congratulations to Professor Iacobelli for founding it 10 years ago. And next year, I will be also the producer next year, hopefully. And you'll get information on the Theater and Dance website, and we have submissions in the art building, but that's a ways away.
Absolutely. All right, great. Well, Pamela Orbaugh, thanks for coming on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Timri Williams, it was nice to meet you. Thanks for your good work on behalf of film.
Nice meeting you as well.
And Andy Blaylock, congratulations last year. You may be up for some prizes again this year. Who knows?
You never know.
You never know.
I hope so. I don't know.
All right. Great. Well, I'd like to thank all three of you, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow evening at the Varsity Theater, where our own UC Davis Film Festival will be premiering both tonight and tomorrow. My name is Andy Jones, and you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is the time, ladies and gentlemen, where if you'd like to win two tickets to see John Waters, he starts speaking in just under 2 hours at the Crest Theater, you can give me a call at 530-752-2777. I'd be glad to add your name to the will call list at the Crest Theater tonight to see the great filmmaker John Waters. 530-752-2777. We'll be right back after we enjoy a little bit more music by Jelly Roll Morton.
Take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Thanks to everyone who phoned in to win tickets to see John Waters. Those tickets have now been given away. Congratulations to Sasha and to Greg. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. It's a poetry radio show where I also touch upon technology and other creative topics. Wanted to let you know that this station is going to be going off the air for about an hour, starting at 6 o'clock, starting in about 20 minutes. I mention this because you may hear silence. You will hear silence if you're still here at 6 o'clock, and I wanted you to be prepared. The music will come on at around 7. We are just doing some routine maintenance on the station. But for now, let's let the poetry continue with Ted Rettke and his poem, I Knew a Woman. You're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
I knew a woman. I knew a woman, lovely in her bones. When small birds sighed, she would sigh back at them. How when she moved more ways than one. The shapes a bright container can contain. Of her choice virtues only God should speak, or English poets who grew up on Greek. I'd have them sing in chorus, cheek to cheek. How well her wishes went. She stroked my chin. She taught me turn and counterturn and stand. She taught me touch that undulant white skin. I nibbled meekly from her proffered hand. She was a sickle, I, poor I, the rake, coming behind her for her pretty sake. But what prodigious mowing we did make. Love likes a gander and adores a goose. Her full lips pursed, the errand oath to seize. She played it quick, she played it light and loose. My eyes, they dazzled at her flowing knees. Her several parts could keep a pure repose, or one hip quiver with a mobile nose. She moved in circles, and those circles moved. Let seed be grass, and grass turn into hay. I'm martyr to emotion, not my own. What's freedom for? To know eternity. I swear she cast a shadow white as stone. But who would count eternity in days? These old bones live to learn her wanton ways. I measure time by how a body sways.
You're listening to KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. The Metabolic Disorders National Affiliation, or MDNA, wants California residents to know that state newborn screenings only screen for 4 out of the 38 metabolic disorders that can cause severe impairments, brain damage, seizures, weak immune systems, and heart and liver disease. The MDNA is a nonprofit organization that assists families experiencing financial difficulties with financial aid to purchase necessities for their children, including formula, therapeutic equipment, heart monitors, IV pumps, and other supplies. They assist with no discrimination towards race, religion, or marital status. For more information, visit www.metdna.org or email Carrie Callisto at kcallisto@earthlink.org. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with the student filmmakers. Remember that the UC Davis Film Festival begins today at the Varsity Theater on 2nd Street in the city of Davis, tonight at 8:30 p.m. And tomorrow night at the same time, also at the Varsity Theater. Anita Nally is my next guest. Anita Nally is a UC Davis staff employee. She's worked here since 1997. She's described herself recently as woefully undereducated, but recently returned to school to take impractical courses that she loves. She's a proud English major who has found poetry all over again about 10 years ago when she took a class with Maria Melendez. Maria Melendez has been on this radio show twice, once in person when she was a graduate student here, and later after she won a prize or published a book a number of years after that. Maria Melendez taught a class called Art in the Arboretum that exposed Anita to the words of Gary Snyder, Sandra McPherson, Francisco Alarcón, and David Robertson, all of whom are current or past professors here at UC Davis, and at least two of whom have been on this radio show. I encountered Anita and her poetry recently at Poetry Night at Bistro 33, and I'm very pleased that she could take some time to join us here on KDVS's own Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Anita Nally, welcome to the program.
I'm delighted to be here.
Great to have you here. So this class with Maria Melendez, it really jump-started all over again your love of poetry as a producer instead of only as a consumer.
It also expanded what I expected out of poetry, what I liked, what I enjoyed reading.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was something you did in school to a certain form, but she totally popped my mind open as to what I could be doing on my own.
Excellent. And in terms of how poetry has helped you, some people talk about its beauty, its therapeutic qualities, the fact that it's calming, the fact that you can use it to form a creative community. What have been the elements of poetry that have been most important to you over the last decade?
Well, definitely the calming effect, especially, oddly enough, as I go back into exploring formal poetry,
mm-hmm.
the rhythms now envelop me. I can spend, for me, the best part of a weekend is if I can spend at least an hour with a book of poetry. It has helped in expression and in dealing with difficulties. In the time that I knew Maria, I had both my parents pass away.
Mm.
In both those cases, poetry came out of it. Not always something that would be shared with people, but it helped me a great deal. And it's introduced me to so many ideas, things I might be resistant to, reading an article or an essay. You can break through to me usually if it's presented in a poem.
Interesting. So poetry is a means of presenting ideas and emotional truths that you might typically resist in, say, an academic essay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of political opinions, social views, views from different countries, cultures. It's opened my mind to a lot of different worlds.
Anita Nally is here, and she is a local poet. She's also an employee at University of California at Davis. Now, clearly you formed some sort of community with Maria and others in that class to get started. Has this been mostly a solitary activity since, or have you formed other or held on to other communities for peer review, as it were?
From about 2005 until last year, it was solitary work. I did go back for some classes last year, but it's been mostly solitary. But I took it upon myself to look up people I had worked with in Maria's class,
mm-hmm.
looked up old emails I had, and tracked a lot of people down.
That's great. Is there a local poet whose work you've heard or read that has been particularly meaningful to you or that you've really enjoyed?
Francisco Alarcón
mm-hmm.
was wonderful, especially as far as his work in sonnets. Something I thought of as a very formal, dry means of expression, and his is conversational, lyrical, sensual, so much.
Wonderful. Well, let's remind folks that, as you might know, Francisco X. Alarcón is a professor of Spanish here at UC Davis. He has a great number of books of poetry out for adults as well as for children. Many of his poems are in bilingual editions, and it's a delight indeed to hear him read as expressively in English poems that he's just shared with you in Spanish. If you ever have an opportunity to see him read, then certainly take up that opportunity. And who would you say, Anita, would be some other influences or favorite poets that you might draw people to who, like you, are very curious and kind of internally motivated to find poets that matter?
Oddly enough, Wilfred Owen.
Mm-hmm.
Decades separated from my life. Most of you, probably a lot of your listeners, know of him, but he was a soldier in World War I.
Right.
Actually died, was killed 2 days before the armistice was declared. His works, not only on the war, but on the status and the lives of veterans following the war, are amazing. Still cut very close. Some very painful to read. His poem about the mustard gas,
right,
was
Dulce et Decorum Est.
Yes.
Yeah.
His point being made of how many people would declare and romanticize war, but if you have seen the results, there's no romance in how that happened. And it brought a lot of conversation out of my family, as my grandfather had been gassed in World War One, and it brought out a lot of discussion about how that changed his personality. But his work is beautiful as well in structure. He's a master of slant rhyme, rhyming close to sound but not quite, so it doesn't sound like it's not doggerel. It doesn't hammer home on each end line, but it's a beautiful song. A subtle song, but it's a beautiful song.
Absolutely. So Wilfred Owen is a great poet to send folks to. Someone else who I remember you mentioning that does fascinating things and unexpected things with rhyme is Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Yes.
And you want to say something about him?
He first attracted me to Anglo-Saxon poetry,
mm-hmm.
Or as they call it, the boom-boom crash sound. He went back to the old, you'll have to pardon me.
Sure, you're doing a great job.
He brought his style of poetry back to the very, very old sounds of old English, of early English poetry, of using alliteration rather than end rhyme, of trying to focus on the strong beats of language, and not only that, but to eliminate as few of the small, unimportant, the scuds.
Right.
Of the language, and some amazing tongue twisters, but highly visual. The image and the sounds of nature around him came into every poem. Jesuit priest, and his love of nature came through each and every work that he had.
I'm talking this afternoon with Anita Nally. She's a Davis-based poet. And you can see her read at times at open mics in the city of Davis. I saw her not long ago at Bistro 33's Poetry Night. And I've asked her to come on the radio show and to share with us a poem. We're going to hear first from the sponsor of this radio show, the Yolo Federal Credit Union. And then, when we return, a poem by Anita Nally. This is KDBS 90.3 FM, Davis.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Thank you.
This is KDBS, 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I appreciate you tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. I'd like to remind you that the UC Davis Film Festival starts tonight at 8:30 at the Davis Varsity Theater. And a week from tonight, Joshua Clover, winner of the Walt Whitman Award for Poetry, two Pushcart Prize-winning poet, will be performing his work at Bistro 33 a week from this evening on June 2nd at 8 p.m. Anita Nally is here in the studio, and I asked if we might stop talking about poetry and start hearing one of her poems. Anita, what's the name of the poem that you've brought with you today?
Cartesian.
Great. Let's hear it.
It's the geometry in the triangles of the horse. The armor skull, the iridescent shoulder blade. It's in the arcs, the elegant force curving a velvet jawbone. It's the equation written in the calligraphy of the ink-black mane on a sorrel neck. Calculation travels in a sine wave on the spine, the rise of neck and shoulder, valley of the back, gathering in the spiral of hip into thigh. It's the triangulation, through shoulder blades and pelvic bones, down legs compassing new angles over sun-sharpened grass, down to a sloped hoof, poised on its edge, the point of three axes, rest, recoil, and race.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you want to say something about the inspiration of that poem?
Theodor Retke.
Yeah.
Who I fell in love. I gain a new poet every few months who I fall in love with and who is going to be my absolute joy. And when I was young, I think I was, this poem was a few years older than myself, I knew a woman. And the full first line is, I knew a woman lovely in her bones. And that line as a child, just lovely in her bones, just struck me as the most wonderful mystery of phrasing. And I did not encounter this poem again until many years later. Retke seems to be a mystery in to a lot of people, and I'm very sorry about that, as he's done wonderful work. The poem came when I was watching a few lovely bones out near the vet med center where the horses graze, and looking for just something to stimulate my mind and to write about. I'm sure you understand, going through times when you need to write.
Right.
You don't have a topic, but you need to write. And I stood out there watching the sun go over all the colors of the horses, of all the horses, these rainbows forming on their flanks, and just carving out the etching, delineating the angles and the grooves and all the shape of the horse, and it came from there.
Wonderful. Well, I really enjoyed your poem, Cartesian, and do you think that you're going to step out more and more and start sharing some more of your work and open mics and other arenas and opportunities like that?
I hope to. It's absolutely terrifying, but the most fun.
Oh, I think so, too. I've gotten over the terror by now, and so I just get to enjoy the panoply of voices at open mics and at other such events. Well, Anita Nally, thanks so much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to, in addition to thanking Anita Nally, thank the three representatives of the UC Davis Film Festival, which starts tonight at 8:30, Pam Orbaugh, Jimmy Williams, and Andy Blaylock. I'll be there tomorrow evening to see maybe some of those folks win some prizes. Tonight I'm heading off to see John Waters at the Crest Theater, and perhaps I'll encounter you in one of these great cultural meccas. As I mentioned before, KDBS is going off the air for an hour to attend to some technical matters. But we will start up again around 7 o'clock, if not before, and I'll be back here next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology.